This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Monday, October 29th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today. Coming to you from New York, where the hurricane is underway. The winds are horrific. The rain is coming. And by all accounts, it's only going to get worse before it gets better. But we should be able to get through this hour without a problem. Thankfully, power has not been lost, at least where I am, in the Bronx, New York. But we're first going to go, we'll get to all the football, but we're first going to go out to Detroit. And what can you say about the San Francisco Giants? Shockingly to me, they sweep the Tigers yesterday. They win 4-3 in 10 innings, 4-0. The Giants, the World Series champions, the Giants who were 6-for-6 in elimination games. I mean, it's just stunning what they accomplished. Down 2-0 to the Reds, come back and win 3-2. Down 3-1 to the Cardinals, come back and win 4-3. And then after you watch the Tigers sweep the Yankees, it's almost unbelievable that the Giants could sweep the Tigers. But that's just what they did. And if I can give you an analogy, and I don't know that people will really think of this, but the analogy to me is, if you go back to that great catch that Willie Mays made for the Giants off of Vic Wertz in Game 1 of the 1954 World Series, supposedly that is what catapulted the Giants to a sweep of the favored Indians. Well, here too, with Pablo Sandoval hitting 3 home runs in Game 1 for the Giants, I think that was the catalyst to having the Giants sweeping the Tigers in the 2012 World Series. A stretch? I don't think so. I think with that kind of performance, shocking as it was, Sandoval had 12 home runs this year in the regular season. I think that's what led him to A, be the MVP, and B, be the catalyst for this giant sweep. Yesterday's game was an interesting game. Brandon Belt with an RBI double early drove in Hunter Pence to give the Giants a 1-0 lead. But for once, superstar, Triple Crown winner, Orlando Cabrera, I didn't think he hit it well, but as Al Kaline, legendary Al Kaline of the Tigers, said before the game, the wind's blowing out to right this time of year. I think that's what happened to Cabrera's ball. He hit what I think normally would be a high fly to right. Goes into the seats with a man on. Cabrera gives the Tigers 2-1, their first and only lead of the World Series 4 games. But then leave it to who else? Marco Scudero and the probable MVP of the regular season, Posey. Scudero gets an infield single. Posey hits a home run to put them right back up 3-2. Delmon Young, who was probably the most consistent Tiger throughout the playoffs, the ALCS MVP against the Yankees, hits a home run to make it 3-3. And then in the bottom of the eighth, you have a feeling that maybe the Tigers can get something going against Jeremy Affelt after he walks Garcia to start out the inning. He then strikes out Cabrera, Fielder, and Delmon Young. Unbelievable. In the bottom of the ninth, Johnny Peralta hits a deep fly to left center, but it doesn't get out. If he hit it to right center, it probably would have gotten out. And then in the top of the tenth, Ryan Theriault gets a bloop single. Brandon Crawford lays down a beautiful sacrifice bunt to get him to second. And again, who else but Marco Scudero with a single to center field to drive in the what proved to be the game-winning run, put them up 4-3. Sergio Romo, who has been fantastic as the closer, comes in, and almost a fitting final at bat with Cabrera up representing the tying run. He'd thrown him slider after slider after slider, and on a 2-2 pitch, he threw him a fastball inside, fooled Cabrera, froze Cabrera, and he takes strike three looking to end the World Series. Giants 4, Tigers 3. Again, amazing. Bruce Bochy, 2 World Series in 3 years. You have to give the Giants credit. The only position player who started in 2010 and also started in 2012 was the catcher, Buster Posey, who, of course, was the Rookie of the Year. in 2010. He's likely the MVP this season. He did win the batting title during the regular season. People are analogizing him to Willie Mays in the early 50s. I don't think so. But Posey is an excellent player. Of course, Mays is an all-time great, considered by many to be the greatest player ever, period. I'm a Babe Ruth guy myself, but that's irrelevant. Posey was not so great in the postseason, but he hit a home run when they needed it most, the only time the Giants were down in the entire World Series. He took them from a 2-1 deficit to a 3-2 lead. That was, of course, a gigantic hit. They asked Posey after the game if he was glad they swept, and, of course, he had the right answer. If they had lost yesterday, they get Verlander at home in Detroit, and then you never know what's going to happen when it's 3-2. So I agree with Posey. I don't think anyone's coming back from 3-0. Obviously, it happened once in the ALCS. Red Sox over the Yankees in 2004, but I didn't think it was going to happen here, nor did I doubt anyone else really did, even if they could have gotten to 3-2. But that's all irrelevant. All credit to the Giants. All credit to Bruce Bochy. Leland said it best. They swept us. They were better than us. It wasn't a fluke. There were some interesting plays along the way that we've discussed, but they all turned out to be irrelevant. From a Detroit winning the World Series perspective, the Prince Fielder slide, which could have given them a lead in Game 2, could have changed things. But the way the Giants pitched and their clutch hitting, I just don't think it would have mattered one way or the other. Giants 4, Tigers 3, Giants sweep the 2012 World Series. Again, their second in 3 years. Giants pitching held the Tigers 1.42 ERA, and the Tigers only batted 159 against Giants pitching. And again, give their bullpen credit. A key was Tim Lincecum apparently accepting this role as reliever. He was very good when he pitched in relief. Romo came out of nowhere to be a solid closer, and boy, what a nasty slider he has. And the Tigers were just unable to hold up. If you see, it's easy to say, if you see that slider starting middle of the plate out, it's going to be a ball. But it looks so good coming in, and it is a hard-breaking slider. He was just too much for the Giants. Well, was Outfelt did in the bottom of the eighth, striking out Cabrera, Fielder, and Young with the go-ahead run on first. To me, that was just stunning as well. Casilla gets the win in relief. Phil Koch, who pitched very well for the Tigers in the postseason, takes the loss. Now, again, to me, a bloop single, a sacrifice bunt, a bloop single. Hard to blame Phil Koch, who was great against the Yankees and very good against the Giants. Romo gets his third save of the World Series, saved 3 of the 4 games, and obviously was a key factor in them winning. But again, I thought it was Affelt with the most effective performance. When you strike out the 3, 4, 5 guys in an order with the go-ahead run in the World Series game on first base, well, again, that is a stunning accomplishment. So the Giants deserve it. They get it. You know, the Giants lost Brian Wilson, their closer, early in the year. They had that whole Melky Cabrera fiasco and have washed their hands of Melky, and good for them. You know, you might have some people come back and say, well, the Giants wouldn't have made the playoffs if they didn't have a PED user hitting 346. You know, Melky would have won the batting title, took his name out of it. His Giants teammate Posey winds up winning the batting title with 330. Melky was hitting 346 and was just one at bat shy. So under that rule they have, he would have won the batting title. But Major League Baseball accepted his offer. You wonder if there was anything behind the scenes. But no closer, no Cabrera. And the Dodgers made that huge trade. I was certainly one who thought the Dodgers were going to win the West after they got Gonzalez and Beckett. But it was not to be. Give all credit to the Giants. I mean, again, it's just a stunning accomplishment. 6 elimination games, 6 for 6. I think they tied the 85 Royals, who also had 6 elimination games. And again, when you read that stat in the history of baseball, be careful, because prior to 1969, you couldn't win 6 elimination games. You could be down 3-0 and possibly win 4, and that had never happened in the World Series. So you're really talking about from 1969 to the present, and I'm not knocking that. It's a stunning accomplishment, but just have an understanding of the history of the game when you hear these kinds of stats. But once again, Giants 4, Tigers 3, San Francisco Giants, 2012 World Series champions. Going to move to football. Well, I hope I mentioned Pablo Sandoval was the MVP, 3 home runs in the first game, 8 for 16 for the series. He certainly deserves it. Again, I think he set the tone for what was an unlikely sweep. Switching to the NFL now, we'll start with the only undefeated team left in the NFL, the Atlanta Falcons in Philly to play the Eagles. The Eagles tottering on the brink, I think. The Eagles were a one-point favorite. Now, they were playing at home, so I guess you can understand maybe why they were a one-point favorite. But the reality is Atlanta, Matty Ice, they've been unbelievable. And yesterday, no exception, they jump out to a 14-0 lead, 24-7 at the half. They coast to a 30-17 victory in Philadelphia over the Eagles. And again, the Philadelphia fans, not the greatest in the world, booing the Eagles. Some people want a quarterback change. Andy Reid, whose job is on the line now, is considering it. Andy Reid, 13-0 in his NFL career after a bye. Philly coming in after a bye. But frankly, it didn't matter. Matty Ryan, just too good. 22 for 29, 262 yards, three touchdowns. Again, now, the NFL today is a passing league. Perhaps the biggest, most important stat is interceptions, none for Ryan, none for Vic as well, by the way. But Atlanta got off early, and it frankly really wasn't a game. And the Eagles, to me, their season on the line now, they're 3-4. As are the Cowboys after they lose to the Giants. What a game that was. We'll get to it in a minute. But the Giants, 6-2, you know, clearly with everybody else with four or five losses in their division, clearly in command of their own tough NFC East. But yesterday, the Falcons go to 7-0, Falcons 30, Eagles 17. Rodgers had 60 yards rushing, Turner 58. They spread it around for Atlanta. Jones, five receptions for 123 yards and a touchdown for Atlanta. LeSean McCoy, 16 for 45 yards and a touchdown. Vic with 42 of his own. Macklin, six receptions for 33. Jackson, five for 59. But really, this just was not a game as the Falcons put in their claim to be the best team in football, which arguably they are. I'd pick the Giants myself. Maybe I'm a little biased. I'm a New York guy. But Falcons 30, Eagles 17, Falcons 7-0, Eagles dropped to 3-4. Their season is on the line. Andy Reid's job in jeopardy. Michael Vick maybe talking about being lifted as the starter. We'll just have to see. The Falcons 30, Philly 17. The other gigantic game, I thought the Giants going down to Dallas to play the Cowboys in the billion-dollar stadium that Jerry built. Fascinating that the Giants are 3-0 in that stadium. No matter what the Cowboys do, they can't seem to get out of their own way. They have tremendous talent. They show flashes of brilliance. They showed those flashes of brilliance yesterday, but the Giants dominating early. I mean, it was just, again, another, to me, strange game. The Giants jump out to a 23-0 lead. And you saw this happen with Peyton Manning and the Chargers when the Chargers jumped out to, I think it was a 20-0 or 21-0 or 24-0 lead. And Peyton Manning brought them all the way back. This was the reverse. Eli leads the Giants to a 23-0 lead. Romo intercepted by Stevie Brown, intercepted by Corey Webster. Looked like early, in fact, and the announcers talked about it. Too many field goals for the Giants. They did go up 3-0, 10-0, 13-0, 16-0, you know, three field goals where they had fantastic field position in addition to the two interceptions. Dez Bryant fumbled. But then the big play, and at least at the time you thought the game-ending play, was in the first half. Jason Pierre-Paul, Romo tries to throw a swing pass to the left, and Jason Pierre-Paul not only intercepts it, he runs it back 28 yards for a touchdown. Hard to believe that the Dallas defense was playing fairly well, down 23-0 at the half, but they were. Obviously, the defense scored a touchdown for the Giants, but three of those other four fantastic field positions for the Giants off of two interceptions and a Dez Bryant fumble. Dallas held the Giants to field goal deep in their own end. So, yeah, they were down 23-0, but the Dallas defense, believe it or not, was playing fairly well. And then the third quarter, everything changes. again, the light switch went on for the Cowboys. Tremendously, tremendously talented. Witten would have 18 receptions for 167 yards, an all-time NFL record for a tight end. Romo led them back, fourth and goal from the one. He bootlegged it in, untouched, to cut the lead, 23-10, 23-17. Then John Phillips, the backup tight end, with a one-yard touchdown catch, 24-23. But at the end of the day, it was all Lawrence Tynes kicking two late field goals to make it 5-for-5 for the day. And what can you say about this guy? I think he's got like 60 in a row from 40 yards, and then he just doesn't miss. Kicks too late, puts him up 26-24. Felix Jones fumbles for Dallas, kicks another one, 29-24, 5-for-5. Now, this game had a bizarre ending. If you saw the end of the game, Romo still coming back, hits Dez Bryant, a fantastically talented receiver, in the back of the end zone for what looked like the go-ahead touchdown with 37 seconds left, with 16 seconds left from 37 yards. Bryant makes a fantastic catch. Looks like he falls down in the end zone, not out of bounds. Looked like the Cowboys were going to take the lead, but on review, his hand, not the one with the ball, obviously, his free hand bracing his fall, which I guess next time you try not to do, probably, bracing his fall, his hand was out of bounds, was on the end line, so it was ruled correctly, no touchdown. Dallas still had time to take two more pops at the end zone, but it wasn't to be. Giants 29, Dallas 24. Eli was very good, but solid. You know, again, Eli, more of a game manager, 15 for 29, 192, no touchdowns, one pick. Bradshaw, 22 rushes for 78 yards. Obviously, it was the defense and Tynes that won the game. Romo, 36 for 62, throws it 62 times, 437 yards and a touchdown, but those four picks. No rushing at all for Dallas. Felix Jones, 13 rushes for 19 yards. And again, Witten, 18. Jason Witten, all-time NFL tight end record, 18 catches for 167 yards. Miles Austin, 9 for 133. But it's not enough. Giants, 29. Dallas, 24. This is the Steve Kallas Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
flooring with high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese. Sunday nights at 8 p.m. only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card.
Call
877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. A lot of NFL games to get to. Other interesting games yesterday, RG3 and the Redskins going to Pittsburgh to play the Steelers. I think the Steelers wore the ugliest uniforms in the history of the world. If you saw them, they were like gold with prison stripes. I mean, that's all irrelevant to the game. But the Steelers got out early, 10-0 at the quarter, 20-6 at the half. They then coast to a 27-12 victory over RG3. And the Redskins, again, after what the Redskins did to the Giants, I thought the Redskins not necessarily could beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh, but it could certainly give them a better game than they gave them. But, you know, the Steelers are that kind of organization. Roethlisberger, 24 for 33, 222 yards, three touchdowns, no picks. RG3, only 16 for 34, 177 yards, one touchdown, no picks. But the Steelers really contained him. You know, the Steelers are a good contained team, wouldn't let him get around the edge. Morris did have 13 rushes for 59 yards for Washington, but more importantly, Griffin, 6 rushes for 8 yards. He really was unable to do what he's done against other teams. Dwyer for the Steelers, the latest rusher for the Steelers, 17 rushes for 107 yards. And Ben spread it around as he does. Wallace, 7 receptions for 62 yards. Miller, his favorite target in years past, 4 for 46 and a touchdown. Brown, 4 for 38. Sanders, 3 for 55. I mean, let's face it, the Steelers are the Steelers. I don't think they're as good. Polamalu didn't play. But they are 4-3. They're back in the thick of things. The Redskins dropped to 3-5. They're the only team in the NFC East with 5 losses, so that's a problem. Now, again, I don't think people really thought that Griffin was going to be as good as he's been. You know, they predicted that he would become a good quarterback, but he really looks like he can become a premier player rather quickly. But Roethlisberger already is a premier player. Mike Tomlin, one of the best coaches in the game. The Steelers are just able to do what the Steelers can do, and despite a lot of injuries, the Steelers remain relevant. We'll get to the standings later, but they remain relevant. They're 4-3, a game behind the Ravens, and of course the Ravens have been decimated with injuries. Steelers 27, Redskins 12. Big Ben has a superlative game, and again, he's one of the best quarterbacks in football, and maybe the biggest and strongest in terms of keeping plays alive and being a tough guy to turn down. to take down. Out in London, what can you say about the Patriots? You know, the Rams go up 7-0, and the Patriots come back with 45 unanswered. The first five times they touch the ball, they score five touchdowns. Again, when the Patriots' offense gets rolling, you know, a lot of people, including Phil Sims, whose opinion I respect more than anybody else's, thought that the Rams could beat the Patriots. Again, the Patriots and the Jets, it's always a tough game. You know, you don't see or you rarely see blowouts. So I think a lot of people thought because Mark Sanchez threw the ball well against the Patriots that anybody can. People seem to forget that the Patriots are playing without their two starting safeties. They have to move McCourty, a good cornerback, over to safety. Their secondary is horrible. But yesterday they hauled Sam Bradford and the Rams in London to 7 points. So I think everybody seems to want to jump on the Patriots and kill their defense, well, at least their secondary, horrifically bad, terrible, et cetera, et cetera. When the Patriots get healthy and play the rest of their season with Bill Belichick at the helm, their defense is going to be good. So don't believe what you hear about the death of the Patriots after four or five or six games. Again, two of those losses, as we've talked about too much, two of those losses could have been wins, but for the replacement refs. Yes, refs make bad calls, but clearly late in the game, they could easily be, they're 5-3, they could easily be 7-1. So understand, the Patriots have control of the AFC East, as we talked about last week. The schedule the next 3 or 4 weeks is easy. It would be surprising if they lose in the next 3 or 4 weeks. And suddenly, you know, if they're 9-3, that division may very well be over. But yesterday, Tom Brady's Tom Brady. Again, to me, it's about efficiency and no picks. Brady yesterday, 23 for 35, 304 yards, four touchdowns, no picks. Also offensively, as you're aware now, they've gone out of their way, I think, to be a rushing team. Stephen Ridley, 15 rushes for 127 yards and a touchdown. Vereen also getting some time, 7 for 22 and a touchdown. Gronkowski's a beast. What can you say about him? 8 catches for 146 yards and 2 TDs. Bradford was 22 for 30, 205, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. But again, once they get going, it's not about what Sam Bradford's doing. It's about can they get off the field against the Patriots offense. The answer yesterday was no. A little rushing game, not much. 7 rushes for 53 yards for Richardson. But they just really couldn't generate anything. Another thing, you know, Bill Belichick, for whatever reason, doesn't like Jeff Fisher. You might recall that 59-0 beating in a rainstorm that they gave him. I think he likes to pile it on. I'm not saying he did here. It was 28-7 at the half, 38-7 after three. But Patriots 45, Rams 7, 84,000 in attendance. According to Phil Sims, who was over there, it's really becoming not a football town, and of course football is soccer over there, not an American pro football town, but clearly according to Sims, the interest, the level of interest, the level of knowledge has gone up, and I guess the NFL will continue to send a game over there. I'd be upset if I were the Rams. They give up a home game to go to London and get slaughtered by the Patriots. Would they have beat the Patriots at home? Unlikely, but Patriots 45, Rams 7, Patriots seizing control in the AFC East at 5-3, although the Dolphins, and we'll get to them, are 4-3. And again, we'll get to the standings later. Patriots beat the Rams in London 45-7. A few other games, a very interesting game. The Panthers, you know, if you follow Cam Newton, he's disappointing compared to last year. He has bizarre press conferences. Maybe he wears his heart on his sleeve too much. But the Panthers go into Chicago given no shot to beat the Bears. The Bears 5-1 coming in. The Panthers 1-5 coming in. And it turns out to be a white knuckler for the Bears. The Panthers play very well. The Panthers control the game, up 13-7 at the half, up 19-7. After three, but the Bears, who are a different team this year with a very good defense and a maturing, I think, Jay Cutler, come back and score 16 points in the fourth quarter. They get a last-second field goal from Robbie Gould, and they beat the Panthers literally on the last play of the game. Bears 23, Panthers 22. Now, Robbie Gould is one of the best field goal kickers, missed a field goal early, which would maybe have come back to haunt them. But Tim Jennings picks off a pass interception, runs it back for a TD for Chicago. Brandon Marshall with two late catches down the stretch. Once Justin Medlock had kicked a field goal, 45-yarder late in the game, off the right goalpost to give Carolina a 22-20 lead. You recall early on Cam Newton fumbled at the one into the end zone, but Lewis Murphy certainly covered him up by recovering the ball in the end zone for a touchdown. But from 19-7 to 19-14 to 20-19 after the interception for a TD by the Bears, they tried for two and didn't get it. Then Cam Newton led them down the field for the Justin Medlock field goal from 45 yards out. But then there was reliable Robbie Gould. After two passes from Cutler to Brandon Marshall put them in field goal range. Chicago 23, Carolina 22. And you know how this goes. The 5-1 team finds a way to win these games. The Bears now 6-1. The 1-5 team finds a way to lose these games, now 1-6. The Panthers, after the game, Cam Newton a little better in the press conference. But again, it's not about press conferences. It's about playing football. So the Bears come back to get a big win at home, 23-22. Cutler 19 for 28 for 186 yards, one touchdown, one pick. Forte 15 for 70 yards and a TD. Marshall with 9 receptions for 98 yards, including those two big ones late to set up the game-winning field goal. Cam Newton for Carolina, 20 for 39, 314, no touchdowns, two picks. Stewart 17 rushes for 42 yards. Steve Smith, 7 receptions for 118 yards, and interestingly, if you know the stat, he has not caught a touchdown pass from Cam Newton yet. That's obviously a problem. Bears 23, Panthers 22. A few other games to look at quickly. Seahawks in Detroit to play the Lions. The Seahawks have obviously been playing well. The Lions have obviously not been playing well. I think the Lions were fortunate to be at home. I think that really helped them at the end, down 17-14 at the half. They scored two touchdowns in the last quarter, the fourth quarter, to beat the Seahawks. Lions 28, Seahawks 24. Very late in the game, they're down 24-21 after Wilson hits Zach Miller for a go-ahead touchdown. Russell Wilson is playing well. Marshawn Lynch earlier had a 77-yard touchdown run, the longest of his career. But then the Lions come back late, and Matthew Stafford hits Megatron open in the end zone for what looked like a go-ahead touchdown, and he actually dropped it, which like never happens. But then Stafford comes back and hits Titus Young with a 1-yard TD pass that proved to be the winner. Detroit 28, Seattle 24. Stafford 34 for 49, 352, 3 TDs, 1 pick. Russell Wilson 25 for 35, 236 yards, 2 TDs, and 1 pick. Marshawn Lynch did have that great run, wound up with 12 for 105 and a touchdown. Young for Detroit with 9 receptions and 100 yards and 2 TDs, including what proved to be the game winner, Titus Young. Lions 28, Seahawks 24. A number of other games to get to. What could have been an interesting game turned out to be a laugher, really because of the reputation. New Orleans and Drew Brees going up to Denver to play the Broncos and Peyton Manning. It was the Sunday night game, but the Broncos get out 7-0 at the quarter, 17-7 at the half, 24-7 after three. New Orleans, frankly, never really had a chance. I think the season's over. I thought it was over at 0-4. Some people at 2-4 are thinking, you know, maybe New Orleans can win 8 in a row. But it was not to be. Again, Joe Vitt in his first game as the coach. The Broncos bury the Saints. Denver 34, New Orleans 14. Peyton Manning, again, we talk about efficiency all the time. Who's more efficient than Manning? 22 for 30, 305 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. Drew Brees, 22 for 42, 213 yards, 2 TDs, 1 interception. give Breeze credit. He extended his record, beating Johnny Unitas' record of 47. He's extended it to 50 games now with at least one touchdown pass. Again, much harder to do it when Unitas did it in the world that he played in as opposed to the world that Breeze plays in terms of rule changes and everything else. It also, Breeze also threw his 300th career touchdown pass, but it's all Denver. Denver 34, New Orleans 14, Willis McGahee 23 rushes for 122 yards and a touchdown. Hillman also 14 rushes for 86 yards. Of course, when you rush for over 200 yards, that greatly helps Peyton Manning's brilliant play-action passing. Demaryius Thomas, 7 receptions for 137 yards and a touchdown. Decker, 4 for 43 yards and 2 touchdowns. Not a whole lot for New Orleans. Thomas, 8 rushes for 43 yards. Ingram, 3 for 7. Sproles, 4 for negative 1. They just couldn't generate anything. Sproles out of the backfield, 7 receptions for 57 yards and a touchdown. Graham, their excellent tight end, 5 receptions for 63 yards and a touchdown. But it was all Denver, all game. Denver 34, New Orleans 14. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want grade hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bella Wood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese. Sunday nights at 8 p.m. only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to 4 rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Back on the Steve Callis Show. Weather getting much worse here in New York, but we'll plod on. Hopefully, can make it to the end of the show power-wise. A few more football games to look at. Jacksonville at Green Bay. Green Bay, you know, appeared to be an easy winner, heavy favorite, but a much tighter game. 14-12 at the half, but Green Bay draws off at the end, 24-15. I mean, Green Bay has Aaron Rodgers, and Jacksonville doesn't. No Maurice Jones-Drew for the Jaguars as well. So the Packers get the win, 24-15. Rodgers, 22-35, 186 yards and 2 touchdowns. Gabbert, 27-49 for 303 in the TD. Again, you understand when you have these huge numbers of throwing passes or pass attempts. Gabbert, 49, for example, just to pick one. Or also, if you look at the Giant game, Tony Romo throwing it 62 times. Normally, as you know, that's really because the teams are behind, and so many of these unbelievable passing statistics come in losses. So when you see these large amounts of throwing the ball, it's usually not because you're winning the game, it's because you're behind and you're trying to get back in. But yesterday, Rodgers throws a touchdown pass to Randall Cobb, throws another one late to Donald Driver. Desmond Moses, off a block punt, scores a touchdown on special teams for Green Bay. Green Bay 24, Jacksonville 15. Again, Green Bay goes to 5-3. The Jaguars' lost season goes to 1-6. No rushing game for either, really. Jennings for Jacksonville. Again, no Maurice Jones-Drew. 17 carries for 59 yards. Green for Green Bay, 22 for 54. Shorts for Jacksonville did have 8 receptions for 116 yards. And Jones had 7 for 78 for the Packers. But the Packers get the win. They haven't been great this year. Rodgers hasn't quite been Rodgers, but he's been good enough now to lead the Packers back into the thick of things at 5-3. Packers 24-15 over the Jaguars. A few other games quickly. You know, what can you say about the Colts? 2 wins last year, obviously Peyton Manning out for the year. They decide to part ways with Peyton Manning and get Andrew Luck. And now the Colts, after 7 games, have twice as many wins as they had all of last year. Colts beat the Titans in Tennessee. I understand the Titans aren't that good, but a road win for the Colts. Colts 19, Titans 13. Give Andrew Luck credit. He's becoming a leader early on, 26 for 38 for 297 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. But very late, he led them down the field, hitting Reggie Wayne, then hitting Ballard on a screen pass for an unbelievable 16-yard run down the left sideline with a dive into the end zone that they reviewed. And if you saw the replay, his helmet hit the pylon, and the ball was inside of his helmet, you know, with his hand. So that's a touchdown. Indianapolis 19, Tennessee 13. That was an overtime touchdown. So Andrew Luck showing great leadership skills early. Again, 26 for 38, 297 in a TD. Hasselbeck, who's played well for Tennessee, 22 for 29, 236 yards and a touchdown. Chris Johnson coming back to life, 21 rushes for 99 yards. Brown for Indianapolis, 14 for 80. Reggie Wayne, who's played really well for the Colts, 7 receptions for 91 yards. Washington, the leading Tennessee receiver, 5 receptions for 69 yards. Colts go to 4-3, 19-13 over the Titans. They drop to 3-5. Another interesting game, especially if you're in the New York area. You know, what are the Jets doing? Nobody knows. Miami comes in, and Miami's a good team. I understand that. They're better than you thought. But they hammer the Jets 10-0 after the first quarter, 20-0 at the half. The Boo Birds out at the Meadowlands. Dolphins coast to a 30-9 win. And the scary thing here is, well, two scary things, at least to me. Ryan Tannehill, who's played well, gets hurt very early. He's sacked by Calvin Pace, and he hurt his quad. Couldn't come back. Matt Moore comes in. Now, Matt Moore, I thought he would start for Miami myself. I thought he played pretty well last year, but Miami has two good quarterbacks. Matt Moore comes in and runs the show. And really, when he came in, it was 3-0, so he's the one who really led them offensively. The Dolphins had incredible special teams. They beat the Jets every which way, onside kick, which they recovered, block punts. Great run backs. Miami 30, the Jets 9. And, of course, as you would expect, the Jet fans are screaming for Tim Tebow. I guess it really was always the plan not to use Tim Tebow, although I did hear Herm Edwards say, well, Rex Ryan said after the game, Sanchez gives us the best chance to win. But at least Herm Edwards, I should say, thinks the Jets should make a switch just to add some excitement to the team, a spark. I don't know that I agree with that, but I will say this. Tebow, I think, has been bad-mouthed as a quarterback. I think he can be an NFL quarterback. I thought he should have gone to Jacksonville. He probably deep down thought he could start over Sanchez, and maybe he will. But yesterday, you know, it's becoming a lost season for the Jets now, 3-5. Dolphins trying to stay pace with the Patriots at 4-3, Patriots 5-3. Dolphins 30, Jets 9. Moore managed the game. And the Dolphins dominated on special teams. Moore 11 for 19 for 131 yards and a touchdown. Sanchez 28 for 54 for 283 yards, one touchdown, one pick. And again, you know, this is just like the other thing we were talking about, 54 pass attempts for Mark Sanchez. That's not a good sign, despite what you might think, for the Jets. Dolphins 30, Jets 9. And is it Tebow time yet in New York? Well, according to Rex Ryan, no. We'll just have to see if that changes. The Jets have a bye now. There's a lot of time to think. They're already getting slaughtered today in the New York papers and on sports talk radio. And, you know, nobody has anything to do now but essentially in New York, in the city and the surrounding area, but sit home. So I think a lot of Jets fans are going to be stewed about this game. And there's going to be incredible pressure on Rex Ryan to do something. But as of yesterday, he said, Mark Sanchez is still my quarterback, and that's how he left it yesterday. A few other games quickly. Cleveland, who I think is better than their record, guts out a win in the rain at home. They get a 7-0 lead in the first quarter against the Chargers, who, again, are so up and down. Including within a game, see the Denver game, but just week to week. Cleveland holds on to beat the Chargers. Cleveland 7, San Diego Chargers 6. Rivers 18 for 34 for 154 yards. Whedon 11 for 27 for Cleveland for 129. No touchdown passes in the game. That tells you something about the weather, which was not good in Cleveland, and even Cleveland is going to get hit by the storms that are pounding the northeast coast right now, or up and down the eastern seaboard, I should say, in the United States. But the Browns get a win at home. They're 2-6. They're going nowhere. They're in a tough division. The Chargers now 3-4. They lose 7-6, and you got to wonder if the North Turner-Phillip Rivers combination is going to be broken up, because, frankly, they just have not quite gotten over the hump. Browns 7, Chargers 6. The final game, Raiders in Kansas City to play the Chiefs. And again, I was one who thought Romeo Crennel could do a job over there, but not this year. Raiders 26 on the road, up 13-6 and a half, 23-9 after three. They win 26-16, Raiders over the Chiefs in Kansas City. Carson Palmer, 14 for 28, 209 and two TDs. Matt Cassel, 20 for 30, 218 and a TD. Darren McFadden getting his legs back under him, 29 for 114 for Oakland. You know, it's a bad sign when Cassel is the leading rusher for Kansas City, which he was. Reception-wise, Moore for Oakland, 5 for 96 with a TD. McCluster for KC, 6 for 54 and a TD. But again, the lost season for the Chiefs, you really thought, or at least I really thought, they might do some damage, be above 500, be a contender for a playoff spot with Romeo Crennel at the helm. They played so hard for him last year, but not to be. Chiefs 1-6, lose to the Raiders 26-16 at home in Kansas City. As you know, Arrowhead, a very tough place to play. The Raiders 3-4, you know, trying to keep their playoff hopes alive, bringing back Carson Palmer last year, having him with a full training camp this year. You expected maybe a little more, but they do get a win on the road in Kansas City, a tough place to play. Let's go quickly to the standings. In the AFC, the Patriots are 5-3 and the Dolphins are 4-3, but I think the Patriots are in clear command now. Again, they're playing better. When they get healthy in the secondary, they're going to be even better no matter what you hear. Whenever you hear criticism of the Patriots secondary, let me know if anybody says, oh, by the way, they're not playing with their two best safeties and their best corner is playing safety. And I'm not here to defend the Patriots, but they have an easy schedule the next 4 weeks. It gets a little tougher later on. But it would be surprising if they're not 9-3, and at worst they'll be 8-4 after 12 games. They're 5-3. The Dolphins are 4-3. The Bills, too inconsistent, 3-4. And the Jets, they're going to have to figure it out. They have to turn their season around. That was a big loss yesterday. They're in last place in the AFC East at 3-5. The West, the Broncos look like they're going to be the team, as we kind of thought. You know, I gave this division to the Broncos, not knowing how Manning would play, but almost by default with a good Manning, and he's been very good. Broncos 4-3, Chargers 3-4, Raiders 3-4, so obviously they're not out of it yet. Chiefs have fallen out of it to 1-6. Again, surprising to me, given Romeo Crennel, the head coach. In the North, the Ravens 5-2. Steelers back in at 4-3, Bengals 3-4, Browns I think better than 2-6, but again they're in a bad division. They've had a couple of tough. They're in a tough division, I mean, and they've had bad for them, and they've had a couple of tough losses. The Texans 6-1, two games up, and I think in a dominating position, even though the Colts are 4-3. The Titans dropped to 3-5. The Jaguars dropped to 1-6. In the NFC, the Giants have separated themselves after yesterday, where everybody in there in the NFC East, other than themselves, lost. Obviously, they beat the Cowboys. Giants 6-2. Eagles 3-4 and in disarray. Cowboys 3-4 and in disarray. Redskins 3-5, not in disarray, but still have to gather themselves under RG3 to see if they can make a run, but they already have five losses. In the NFC West, the 49ers, my Super Bowl victory pick, are now in first place. They're 5-2. The Cardinals 4-3, and again, they play tonight. That's my selection for this week. As you know, the 49ers -7 over the Cardinals. That's the Monday night game. 49ers 5-2, Cardinals 4-3. The Seahawks trying to stay relevant, 4-4. The Rams, with that blowout loss in London to the Patriots, they've dropped to 3-5. In the North, the Bears in command, 6-1. The Vikings, who I was surprised were hammered at home by Tampa Bay Thursday night to start this week, Vikings dropped to 5-3. Packers move up to 5-3. The Lions now 3-4, has saved their season, I think, with that late comeback win against Seattle, but they still have a lot to make up. The Falcons, the only undefeated team, I don't think they're the best team, but a lot of people do, but they are 7-0 with a commanding four-game lead in a division after seven games. That's hard to do. But the Buccaneers, with that good win on the road, they're 3-4 for Greg Schiano, the former Rutgers coach. The Saints dropped to 2-5. I don't think they're going to get there as a playoff team. They may not have to run the table, but they probably have to go. They probably need to be 10-6. They're 2-5, so that would be 8-1 their last nine. The Panthers fell off a cliff, 1-6 after closing strongly last year, although they did play very well against the Chicago Bears. Got a few other things to look at quickly to college football, the new top five. You know, again, it's Alabama and the rest of the country. Who's the new number two this week? Well, this week the new number two is K-State. Notre Dame correctly moves up. What a good win they had at Norman against Oklahoma. Alabama, K-State, Notre Dame, Oregon, LSU fifth. Now, Alabama, for what people think could be a challenge to them, they go on the road to play LSU. But I got to say, Alabama is so much better than everybody. I don't think LSU can beat them even at home. You know, the Honey Bear got arrested, I think, for marijuana possession or something. He's fallen off a cliff since he was dismissed from the team. I'm sure he'll still be a high draft pick, but his life has gone on the wrong way. LSU is just not as good without the Honey Bear, who was a Heisman finalist last year, as you will recall. But this past weekend, the biggest game was Notre Dame. I think it's an upset. I understand Notre Dame was ranked higher than Oklahoma, but all credit to Notre Dame. They hammer Oklahoma in Oklahoma. Notre Dame 30, Oklahoma 13. So Notre Dame goes to 8-0. They were number 5 before the new poll. They're now number 3, and correctly so. Oklahoma was number 8. This Golson is a very good quarterback, so give them a lot of credit. Notre Dame 30, Oklahoma 13. I thought that was the biggest game. Alabama, you know, some people thought Mississippi State could give Alabama a game. I wasn't one of them. Alabama at home is like indestructible. They bury Mississippi State 38-7. Oregon hammers Colorado 70-14. But, you know, those games where you're playing a team like Colorado that's 1-6, now 1-7, I don't think are as impressive as, for example, Notre Dame beating Oklahoma. Number 3, Florida. I don't know if it was a mild upset, maybe a mild upset. Georgia at home, very tough. Georgia 17, Florida 9, both teams now, you know, very good SEC teams. They're both now 7-1. One surprising game on both ends, not that Ohio State beat Penn State at Penn State, but Ohio State, not bowl eligible. First year under Urban Meyer, not with his players. Ohio State now 9-0, and Penn State, give them credit, after two losses early, you thought it was going to be hard for them to win even a few games. Penn State, despite losing to undefeated Ohio State, is still 5-3, so you have to give them a lot of credit. They've done a good job at Ohio State in the top 10, where nobody really expected that. And one other team, Kansas State. I mean, what can you say about Snyder? He's an unbelievable coach. They moved to 8-0 with a 55-24 pounding of a number 15 team, so understand the difference. Oregon hammers a 1-6 team, 70-14, but Kansas State beats a number 15 Texas Tech team, 55-24. Klein, now the leading Heisman candidate, 19-26, 233 yards. And 2 touchdowns. So again, Alabama, K-State, Notre Dame, Oregon, and LSU. The big game this week will be Saturday, Alabama at LSU. But again, I don't think anyone can beat Alabama. One other thing briefly, NASCAR down in Martinsville, Virginia. Jimmy Johnson gets the win, and not only gets the win in Martinsville, but jumps into the points leading over Brad Keselowski. Kyle Busch was second to Johnson. Give Keselowski a lot of credit. He qualified 32nd, but still managed to finish sixth. But Jimmy Johnson now jumps over Keselowski in the point standing for the chase. There's 3 races left. Jimmy Johnson in first after his victory in Martinsville. 2 points in front of Brad Keselowski, who finishes sixth. Tonight, baseball over. It's a football world. The 49ers at the Cardinals, 8:30 Eastern, ESPN. Obviously, the entire Eastern Seaboard essentially shut in. Those storms from the Eastern Seaboard going all the way out 500-600 miles west to Cleveland and the Great Lakes area. So it's probably a stay-at-home-and-watch-football night tonight. No World Series. 49ers at Cardinals, 8:30 Eastern on ESPN. Congratulations to the San Francisco Giants. I don't know how they did it, but they did do it. After the Tigers sweep the Yankees, they get swept by the Giants. That's it for the baseball season for 2012. Everybody, especially on the Eastern Seaboard, stay home, stay safe. This is a terrible storm, and it's only beginning. It's going to go for another 24 hours till Tuesday at around noon. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at Sports Talk Network. .com